This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's talk to our guest for the day. It is Trader Nick in the United States. Nick, good afternoon from London. How are you, sir?
Hey, Johnny. I'm good. Good to be back with you.
Now, on this side of the Atlantic this morning, we had the latest UK CPI numbers, and it shows that inflation has risen by 3.8%, mainly driven by a jump in the price of airfares and food. And that now means that inflation is at its highest level since January 2024 and still quite a long way above the Bank of England's target of 2%. So this was a slightly higher than expected increase to inflation, Nick, and I suppose strengthens economists' expectations that the Bank of England will now slow the pace of interest rate cuts.
Yeah, I think you broke that down well. We basically saw 3.8% year-over-year inflation. Forecast for the number was 3.7%. And context here is important. The previous number was 3.6%. So we are seeing a steady and persistent rise in inflation in the United Kingdom. That is definitely problematic for the situation there. The Bank of England, like other places, would theoretically like to cut interest rates. And obviously, you know, most people who would like to go out and borrow or lower their borrowing rate on their homes, things like that, that is obviously a key factor at play here, as that can, especially when interest rates are held for quite some time at a high level, it can negatively impact an economy. The challenge already is that the UK economy is not in a particularly, you know, strong growth cycle to combat this high inflation. Sometimes you get, you know, in the recent years, you had the U.S. Inflation a little bit sticky, but the economy has been holding up pretty well. That's a dynamic that people can kind of stomach because people are still employed. They're still in a situation in which, okay, you know, inflation, yes, prices are going up, but people still have their jobs, are still employed. That's good. The challenge, the concern for the Bank of England here is that if you get a certain situation in which inflation is sticky and rising in this case, and employment data could potentially weaken further from, you know, the unaffordability or the high prices, the high cost of living. I remember, you know, cost of living crisis being dramatically felt all over the world during recent years, but sharply felt in the UK. It seemed like a really, you could see it in the data, right? You had very slow levels of growth mixed in with high levels of inflation. So this stagflation concept continues to be problematic for the UK. 3.8% inflation, I mean, that is well off, as you pointed, that 2% target. And, you know, what's interesting here, Johnny, is it's weird because yes, that can keep the central bank in England or the Bank of England, right? It can keep them on hold for longer to hold interest rates. But how much strength does this really cause the British pound? It does in the sense that, okay, they may not hike or cut rates. That's bullish for the British pound. But for traders thinking about this, we have to think about the other side of this. High inflation for a suspended period of time, high interest rates suspended period of time. What if that causes the other side, the employment statistic, to start weakening? What does that do to the British pound? Well, it does a lot. So stagflation is tricky because, again, it puts the central bank in the situation where they want to cut rates to help with the labor data staying strong, but they also need to keep rates at a high point to combat high levels of inflation. It's a really tricky spot for the Bank of England. And, you know, I know we talk a lot about, of course, the whole world watches the U.S., but there are pockets of different economies that have what I would argue to be even more challenging situations. And I would include the U.K. in that list. So definitely a challenging time for inflation there. And we'll see what comes next. Hopefully some lower inflation statistics.
And Nick, speaking of central banks, of course, on Friday, we've got the Jackson Hole Symposium. So what are you expecting to happen there?
Yeah, Johnny, it's interesting. As we look at the dollar ahead of the Jackson Hole Symposium, we do see the dollar stagnating, still trading under that 100 mark, around 98.2. We did see a brief period of time when the dollar looked a little bit stronger on what was an expectation that, you know, jobs data was holding up. Then we had that really lackluster NFP report. And I think that brings me to, you know, Jackson Hole this year is going to be a really interesting event. Some context here is key because obviously we know Trump and Powell kind of have it out for each other. They are not very friendly. They both, you know, Trump, I would say, is definitely more of the aggressor than Powell, but they definitely have some clear differences in opinion. Now, the reason that's worth bringing up is that this is Jerome Powell's last Jackson Hole Symposium. And historically, the Jackson Hole Symposium is a moment in time for Fed officials to often state their kind of next big plans. It is a lot of times historically a time in which the Fed makes a move or makes a claim and kind of makes final decisions on some things. And so it may be a pretty binary event, in my opinion. What I mean by that is that we are talking very heavily about, hey, September, we're going to cut rates. The market thinks that, but there is a possibility that Powell, who has not signaled, you know, rate cuts in September, may choose to continue to not. We may get the disappointment in Jackson Hole Symposium, and it may also be combined with this possibility that Powell could say the Fed's independence is very important, a sort of a subtle response to the president's recent kind of badgering for him to cut interest rates. He may say, you know, we're still struggling with higher than expected inflation, looking at things like the producer price index number that we just got, which was much higher than expected. He may take that as an opportunity to kind of stick it to the man a little bit and say, you know, hey, we're not going to cut interest rates until we see a little bit of lower inflation. And if that is the case, it is very possible that you get some very sharp reactions to markets. The stock market has been trading at all-time highs for the last few weeks. We are seeing stocks a little bit lower here ahead of the Jackson Hole Symposium. Obviously, it's Wednesday. We've got a couple of days to go. But it will be really interesting to see what comes out of this. There is also the opposite side of the binary equation that I just mentioned, which is he may signal, hey, you know, labor data is starting to cool and we think it's time to cut rates. And that's what the market kind of seems like it's positioned for. But things can change. I mean, Johnny, 2 weeks ago, we were looking at the Fed Watch tool. It was saying 99% chance. I looked at it this morning and 99% chance that we would get a Fed rate cut in September. I looked at it this morning and it's down to 85%. 85% is still very likely, but there is the possibility that that 15% comes full swing on Friday and we hear a more hawkish Powell than the markets are expecting. So we'll have to see, but it is a big event and there is a lot of potential volatility that could come out of it, in my personal view.
Meanwhile, as yet, we've had no response from Fed member Lisa Cook after President Trump called for her to resign. Why did he do that in the first place, Nick?
Yeah, so there is this, as we've been discussing, this tension between Powell and Trump, but there's also just this general discontent from the White House about the Federal Reserve's decisions not to cut interest rates at this point. Some officials are more on the dovish side, thinking we should have already cut rates in July. Others are saying they're more on the hawkish side. So there's always some level, some wiggle room amongst consensus amongst the Fed. But right now, there's an interesting dynamic where there is pressure from the White House to be cutting interest rates. Scott Bessent, Donald Trump, they're pushing for the Fed officials to, you know, ease up on the rates. And obviously, that, you know, call for resignation is not the first one. We'll see if it's the last one. He's obviously done that several times with Powell, calling for his resignation, calling him too late, just outright kind of insulting Fed officials on their jobs and or the jobs that they've been doing. So it's really an interesting thing. And I think it does cause some uncertainty to markets to see that independence be challenged by the Fed. And I almost wonder, like I said, if that being very personal, you know, Trump coming after Jerome Powell, calling him to resign, but also calling others, if there will be a mannerism amongst the Fed that just sort of says, we're going to stick to our own plan, regardless of what you say, if there's a little bit more of a sharper response on Friday. So really just adds more to the potential kind of energy between these two groups.
Excellent stuff, Nick. Thank you very much for joining us today. We'll speak to you again on Friday.
Thanks, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.